Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 11, where we see that every believer has a specific gifting by God's Spirit to enhance the body of Christ and to further His kingdom. Through today's study, Pastor Dave preaches a message to provoke our giftings to rise up, be used, and to get in the game. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1.
Mental healings, emotional healings, Jesus does it. Mike McIntosh, one of Calvary's older pastors out in San Diego, he was so messed up from acid and LSD and every other drug, he literally thought his brain, his head was blown in pieces. He walked around that way. He did not believe that his head was intact. Jesus healed his mind. He healed his mind, and he hit the longevity of his ministry as a testimony to the power working wonder of the glory of God. It happens all the time. The Lord can do that. He can take somebody who's crazy and make them sane. He can take somebody who's emotionally wounded, somebody who's physically ill, and he can make them whole. Certainly, this gift is probably one of the most abused, but nonetheless, we don't diminish it. It's a gift of God's Spirit. I mean, I want to be used in that way. I obey the scripture. If you come to me and you're sick, I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I don't believe there's anything supernatural in the oil. I just simply believe it's a point of release. I just simply believe that it's a symbol of God's Spirit. I just do it because God's word says so. And I anoint that person with oil, and I, as an elder, I ask the Lord to raise the person from the sick bed. And I've seen him do it over and over, and we will not stop doing that at this church. We often, if you ever see it in the floor, we got these little vials of oil. I never have one. I always have to ask one of the other guys for theirs. I always break them or lose them. But somebody always has them, usually Pat. So if you need oil, go to Pat. He's not as mean as he looks. He's a very nice man. And let him anoint you with oil. Let us anoint you with oil and trust that the prayer of faith might be used to bring healing into your life. God does that. God heals. God heals. And that leads us wonderfully, the Holy Spirit did this so perfectly in verse 10, to the working of miracles. Working of miracles. The working of miracles, man, again, I'm just pulling Bible passages and real life experiences because I think both are powerful. But our Lord Jesus, the one that we're supposed to be the hands and feet of, right in the beginning of his ministry, John 2, he turns water to wine. That's a miracle. He turns water into wine. What about Peter in the book of Acts? Just a man like we are. Men and women of like passions. He raises Dorcas in Acts chapter 9 from her deathbed. That's pretty powerful. I can't think of a greater miracle than that, besides salvation, is than somebody physically being dead and being raised back to life. Paul, at the end of the book of Acts on the island of Malta, when the viper latches on out of the fire to his arm there, he's not wounded, he's not hurt, he's not ill. He shakes it back off. Well, we do see Peter's shadow in the book of Acts bringing healing to people. We do see the sweatbands of Paul bringing healing to people. Certainly, those things were specific to the apostolic ministry of these men to establish the church. So in all seriousness, I wouldn't suggest that my sweatband would do anything for you or Benny Hinn's or somebody else's that you might watch on TV. But nonetheless, miracles are still happening. And from what I hear at conferences that I go to, especially in places where they've got nothing else but God to do a miracle. Like we get a headache here and we just pop Advil. We get ill here, we have a fever for a few days here and we just go to our doctors. But in these other places where those things aren't so convenient, they are desperate for God. And so God shows up in ways that perhaps we don't give him opportunity to here in this plentiful land. But nonetheless, miracles are happening. This is a house of miracles. We see it all the time. Y'all with me still? We're getting close to descent. We're almost landing this plane, about 7 to 8 to 10 more minutes to 12. I'm doing better than I thought I would. He says to another, the working of miracles. And then he says to another, prophecy. Verse 10, prophecy. We're going to come back to prophecy later on. When we get to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, note takers, that is a dynamic definition of what it will look like and what it will sound like, the gift of prophecy. But essentially, the gift of prophecy, I don't believe, is necessarily in today's day somebody who's a foreteller as much as it is somebody who is a foreteller. In other words, I don't think it's somebody who's foretelling of things, although that could be. I think it's somebody who's more a heralder, a foreteller of God's word, speaking the word of the Lord where it hits home. I depend on the gift of prophecy. I ask the Lord for it. I don't say, well, it's Wednesday evening. It's not a Sunday morning thing, so this is like a lesser study. I put just as much into this as I do into Sundays. I take it just as seriously for me personally. And I don't ever take the stage. I got to do a graveside funeral tomorrow. I'll never do anything without asking the Lord for a word in season, a prophetic word in that sense. Help me to speak your word in a way where it hits home, God. So that's, if you ever, and I get it all the time, Pastor, I listen to first and second. They're different. How come? Gift of prophecy. Somebody in first needed to have me say a certain verbiage, a certain thing that would zap them and pierce them. And maybe somebody in second needed something totally different. That's why I can't just, well, I got my notes. I got to stay to my notes. I got to keep moving through. I got to be open to the working of God's Spirit lifetime. So it's speaking God's word in a way where it hits home. Again, the ultra Pentecostal, when it comes to prophecy, they get really, in my opinion, dangerous with this. They do a lot of thus saith the Lord. Maybe you've said under somebody that's that way, thus saith the Lord, and they put themselves in the first person, like what they're saying is for sure coming from the mouth of God. You probably won't hear me often do that. I don't know if I've ever done that. I may say I really believe, I really feel this leading, this urge to speak this. I believe this is what God has given me to give to you. But man, when people are dogmatic with it and say, thus saith the Lord, the problem with that is how authoritative was that? It's you again taking your voice and putting it in par with the inerrant, inspired, definite word of God, the scriptures. To me, that's, you better check yourself. You better check yourself. It's dangerous to do that. Now, I want to say this, a prophecy, speaking the word of God, where it's at, to hit home in the person's life, the people's lives that receive it. I want to say, based on what chapter 13 tells us, that because we prophesy in part, our prophecy isn't perfect. That's important. We prophesy in part, so our prophecy isn't perfect. But we know this. Revelation 19, verse 10 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So every time we give Jesus out, the gospel of Jesus, essentially, we're prophesying. So that's further testament that this gift hasn't ceased because we're still doing it. If I still have you at this point, that's solid, isn't it? We're still doing it, so it hasn't ceased. Before I leave you from this one and move to our close, I want to give you this. All prophecy is to be tested by the word of God. All prophecy. I can't move from this without saying that. The standard of what everything else is to be tested by is the scriptures. There's no new revelation from God that is on par with scripture. Okay, there could be a word in season, but it's not going to contradict what the scriptures have already revealed. I just got to be very clear on these things. Then he says in verse 10, in addition to the gifting of prophecy, another might be given this ability to discern spirits. An ability to discern spirits. In the world that we live in, there's three spirits always operating. And if you watched the State of the Union last night, if you watch and are watching the coverage of he said it wrong, so now I'm going to say it wrong, of Ukraine and Russia, and if you watch what's going on in our world and the world leaders responding, if you've been paying attention at all to current events the last handful of years, then you very well know that there are these three spirits always operating in our world. Number one, the spirit of man. Number two, demonic spirits. Please understand, principalities and powers of darkness are behind so much of what we're seeing. And number three, the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit in this world, convicting this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, seeking to woo all men to Jesus. There is demonic spirits. They have stayed the task that the devil has given to them. And then there is the spirit of man that they are vying for. There's a need in the church today for the gifting of the discerning of spirits. A lot of times, people that have this gift, but they misuse this gift, they think that they're the police or the FBI of the church. When discernment is greater than love, we have a problem. When people are priding themselves, a church is priding themselves, we know what's going on in all these people's lives, you know, versus loving people, love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things, we've got a problem. What this is speaking about then to you and I tonight is simply the desire then for the Holy Spirit to give us the ability to discern what is motivating a ministry. What is motivating a minister? Lord, is this a wolf in sheep's clothing? What's going on here, Lord, behind the surface? You know, this is one where you feel uneasy and you don't know why you feel uneasy. Have you ever had that happen before? You go to a church, you sit under a preacher, you don't know him, you're in Florida, you're on vacation, and you say, well, geez, something doesn't feel right here, right? That then is the beginning of it. But then when you got it nailed down, you know what it is. That's the discerning of spirits. This guy's a creep. I've had the Lord reveal it to me, and then I feel bad. And that's how I often know it actually is the Lord and not just my own prejudice or whatever it would be. Because you do feel bad and you want to check yourself. There's a humility to it. God, is this me or is this you here, Lord? But this guy here seems to be into children and he's a doll and it's sick. And the Lord confirms, yeah, you were right about that. And it was to protect. See, it's for the betterment of those who are around you. So he exposes. That's an important one. All my leadership in this teaching and the hearing of my voice should be asking the Holy Spirit for discerning of spirits. Guys who are coming in here like creeps. Something else is going on. Wolf in sheep's clothing. But we see your fangs. Now, these are not to be policemen. These are not to be the FBI, but simply the immune system of the body. John says, try the spirits. It's instruction. Try the spirits. The immune system. Something's not right. This isn't good. There's a cancer among us. There's a gossiper. There's a slanderer. There's an accuser. And the Holy Spirit reveals it. Thank you, Jesus. And then lastly, tonight, and again, we'll be very minimal with our comments on this because we have to come back to it and we'll give greater detail to it. But he says this here, and I don't apologize for it. To another is given the gift of tongues and the interpretation, another, of tongues. Let me tell you what tongues is. There's so much confusion on this. Tongues is a heavenly dialect. It's a heavenly language of praise, of prayer, of thanksgiving, of worship to God, enabled by the Holy Spirit. It's abused, it's misused, so people are like, it's not for today, and they freak out over it. I believe that it certainly is for today. It just, again, needs to be done decently and in order. Paul says, I'd rather that you have the gift of prophecy than the gift of tongues. And certainly, it's not to just be blurted out in a holy congregation like this when there are unbelievers there, because you're going to spook them if there's no interpreter to the heavenly dialect, which is another gift, explaining in human language what that person just said to the Lord. And if it is done and it's done right, then there has to be a monitor, there has to be an MC, there has to be somebody, okay? And there can't be more than three tongues. So how do we just all of a sudden say that it's not for today? It's just that there's rules for this gift. I believe in the gift of tongues. I have the gift of tongues. I pray in the spirit, I call it that, in privacy, when y'all aren't around or under my breath so that you can't hear me. When my heart is overwhelmed and I have to preach and I have to bear the heaviness of preaching, or I'm in a situation that's beyond me and I don't have any other words, a lot of times I turn to this. And it gets my mind off myself and I just sort of release it to the Lord. There are other forms of that type of thing, groaning and utterances in the spirit that aren't necessarily tongues. But there's nothing to be freaked out by of this as long as it's being done decently and in order. All supernaturally natural. Interpretation is the enablement for us to understand what was just said in a dialect that we don't know about. And it's beautiful and it's amazing. So we'll talk about that one more in weeks to come. But notice here he says, as we close, all these gifts, they worketh that one in the selfsame spirit, and he divides to every man severally as he will. It's all how he wills that he does these things. So pretend like this. Pretend that one of the middle schoolers popped their head in right now as I'm closing. And they're like, oh, geez, it's Cameron sends them because it's 8:26 and we're past time. So they just want to give me like a signal, like, you know, so they come in with a glass of water thinking that perhaps they can bring that to me and distract me and give me a notion like, you got to be done. But, you know, they're bringing me a bottle of water because I'm sort of choking up here. If they were to do that and they were trying to make their way through the media center here, the cameras, and they were to trip and fall and spill the water everywhere, well, then this is how the gifts would look like. And maybe it will help you to understand what gift you have. The people with the gift of prophecy would be the first to blurt out, I told you that was going to happen, right? Like, that would be them. The person with the gift of mercy, gifts that we're going to get to, they're not going to say anything. It's just going to be this, oh my gosh, like, you fell. Are you okay? That's all that they're going to be concerned with. Just making sure that the person's okay. The teachers in the room are going to want to say, now listen, next time, if you carried the glass with two hands, right? Or maybe even put one hand on top of it and you walked a little bit slower, then perhaps you wouldn't have spilled this drink. The gift of helps, which is so important. It's found in verse 28 of this chapter. The gift of helps, you know what they're going to do? They're not going to say anything. They're going to just go to the janitor's closet and they're going to get the rags, the towels to dry it. And they're just going to immediately intervene. The lady or the man with the gift of edification is going to grab the purse and the youth, and they're going to say, hey, listen, you can do it. And I know you can do it. And you can do it next time. And in fact, you know what? Go get not just one glass of water, but go get two and even put one on your head. It's going to be amazing what God can do with you if you would just give yourself to him for another chance. He's the God of second chances and seventh chances. And they're going to build that junior higher up that just simply wanted to give me a glass of water and tell me time's up. There's these different gifts that are exhibited in that way. And these are the ways that the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. I want to give you these as we close. We are not to be, number one, there's just two things. We are not to be lukewarm toward the gifts of God's Spirit. Like, you shouldn't be in this room tonight saying, well, I'm way past my time to use gifts or to find out what my gifts are. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit gives opportunity for anybody in the room to be nonchalant towards these things. We are, as the scripture tells us, and we'll see in the weeks to come, we are to desire earnestly to be all that God wants us to be and to have all that God wants us to have for his glory. All of us in this room, believing what his word says, that he gives to his people, all of his people, gifts as he sees fit. That then means that there's something that God has given to me for the betterment of everybody around me, which in the negative means if I'm not asking him what it is or looking for it, I'm not contributing my part that he has intended for me to contribute. And secondly, with that attitude of not being lukewarm, we are to seek the Lord in prayer related to this. So God, what's my gift? If so-and-so walks through the aisle here and spills their drink, God, what would my heart do? How would I respond? What's my natural inclination? And then do this, seek the Lord, with the confidence knowing that he wants you to know that calling even more than you want to know that calling. He wants to give you that gift even more than you want that gift, and he'll get you there in that place of bestowing it upon you. Here's a good way to look at it. Worship team, would you come? Be sensitive, listen please, be sensitive to the soft spot that is in your heart. Like be sensitive as you look to the Lord. Lord, what person am I in this? I want to be, God, what you've called me to be. Be sensitive to the spot in your heart where it causes you to sigh, and begin there. You know, like as you look at the church or as you look at the world, what causes you to sigh? What causes you to be grieved? I pull that from Mark chapter 7, when there was this deaf and dumb guy that Jesus heals, and he puts his hands, we're supposed to be his hands, he puts his hands on this guy's head, and it tells us so beautifully that he sighs. He puts his hands on this man who needs healing, on his head, and he just like lifts up his head to the Lord, and he just lets out this. It caused him to sigh. And I believe that the Lord would have us to look at the world around us and just like naturally what he's doing within us, what causes us to sigh as we do so? Because I believe that that's the Holy Spirit beginning to give you direction of how he might want to use you. Instead of complaining, instead of griping, instead of nitpicking, why not just be that person who says, God, this is causing me to sigh. This is causing me to breathe heavy. This is breaking my heart. Would you pour out upon me gifting that would help bring healing to this, to that, to them? So be sensitive to that soft spot and let Jesus use you as he sees fit. God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this beautiful portion of your word. I pray that every person, myself included, would desire earnestly what it is that's in your heart for us to have that would glorify you. And I pray, Jesus, that we would give you the opportunity to show us, how have you gifted us? What is it that you've bestowed upon us? So that we would contribute, Lord, for the betterment of the world around us. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the clarity that your word brings on every topic, Lord, of every topic that we could think of, Lord. Your word gives such great clarity, and we thank you for that. Receive this closing song of prayer, praise, we ask, Lord. Let it put a smile upon your face. In Jesus' name we ask these things, all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing a last song to the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.